Welcome to the sixth episode of E Says, P Says, your weekly dose of black love. My name is Ellen for the E.
And my name is Paul for the P. For those of you tuning in for the first time, we decided to start this podcast to celebrate a milestone in our relationship. As of 4/22/24, we have been married for 35 years. Each week, we'll share a part of our relationship with you so you can see what has brought us this far and will take us further. This week, we will discuss some of the belief systems that we had coming into marriage that have changed over time. Most of them have to deal with religion, parenting, finances, divorce, mental health, family, and so on.
After being with someone for so long, you do not think that changes would take place to the things that you believe in your heart and feel are a part of you. However, slowly and over time, it happens. You are affected by the world, your growth, your changes, and just living life. So, let us start with Paul, LOL. It is always so fun to pick on him. When we got married, all of a sudden, he wanted his dinner hot and hitting the table when he hit the door. Mind you, he had a shift job and rode the bus, so it was totally impossible to know when he would get home. Also, cell phones and beepers were not yet available to the masses as they currently are. And mind you, we lived together before we got married, so this change was unexpected on my part. And yes, we argued a lot about it. Then one day I said, we have money, and there's a little cafe down the street. They have a dinner special. It was only $5, so I started going there and getting two dinners around lunchtime and heating them up around the time he got home from work. There were also times that I would cook. However, when I didn't, those dinners came in handy. It even got to the point that when I was working, off and on, I would ask Paul to pick them up if he got home earlier than me. So, Paul, have I broken you of this habit?
Oh, so you're now a comedian. Luckily, I'm not a horse that needs to be broken. Though you may have thought so during that particular time. Rather, I think we were both fortunate that I took an interest in cooking in our marriage, which is when we moved from California to Brooklyn, New York. Also, when you got sick and could only eat a certain diet, is when I really took a keen interest in learning how to cook. When I look back on that time, I wish I had experimented more with food, because living in New York City, I had access to all types of food and cuisine.
Our next topic is infidelity. Another belief system that I had was about infidelity. I felt if either of us cheated, it was over. No second chances, no apologies, it's done. Fast forward to Michael Jordan and his first wife getting a divorce. Though Paul did not have Michael Jordan money, I changed my thought process. I had a friend who was dealing with the craziness after a divorce and being a single parent, and some of my friends were single parents. I was like, wait a minute. I did not have these kids by myself. I know you are going anywhere. You take the basement and I'll take the upstairs. Why should one of us, mainly the mom, be the only caregiver during the week and dad gets to live somewhere else and parent every other weekend? I feel like now, do you be respectful and live close by? Because when I need a break, I'm sending them next door, the basement, the pool house, or wherever you are so I can get some time. And driving should not be necessary. And a caveat to that is, this is mainly for parents. If you do not have children or pets, you may want to keep the status quo. How have your thoughts changed about divorce?
First and foremost, I have never been a fan of divorce or shacking up. Marriage to me is very important and a serious undertaking. I think in American society, marriage has become devalued. Unfortunately, people seemingly care more about the marriage ceremony than they do about the actual marriage. Maintaining a marriage is extremely hard to accomplish. The world is moving at such a fast pace, providing its citizens with many and varied responsibilities at work and at home, that there is little time to nurture a marriage. This is why it is important for married couples to give each other grace and to realize that no one is perfect, and that includes themselves.
Okay, Mr. Mark. And the next up is religion. Religion is another belief system that has changed more for Paul than me. I have been around the world and back, probably experiencing many different religions. Paul was raised in the Pentecostal church. I was baptized Episcopalian. My parents were both Baptists. I went to Catholic school and camp, and I went to Quaker school. I've attended Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, Quaker, and Unity churches. I've also been introduced to Buddhism and the Falun Dafa practice. So I would say, after all of this, I am probably more Unity than anything else, and this is the church I attended with the children. I felt it gave them an open view of religion, and if they wanted something else as they grew up, they had a firm background. Our children attended many different churches as well due to family events. Though eventually, Paul had a conversation with our Unity minister and was willing to attend church with the family more regularly. He did and does still attend the Methodist church in the area, or as our youngest referred to it, the Sing Song Church. How have your thoughts on religion changed?
This is a loaded question, and one that should definitely be discussed before marrying someone. I don't know if my views on religion have changed a whole lot. I still consider myself a Christian. The vehicle that I receive my Christian teachings is through practical Christianity, which is through the Unity Church. Unity emphasizes spiritual healing, prosperity, and practical Christianity. It has helped me to be more accountable for my actions and responsible for setting and achieving my goals. It has taught me that thoughts and words, both negative and positive, have power. This was something I was not taught as a youth growing up. What I was taught was heaven and hell, and that one had to act a certain way and do certain things in order to get to heaven. Unity doesn't teach that. Unity teaches that we should find our heaven right here on earth, and that we have the ability to have happiness right now, during the here and now. And they don't have this attitude where everything is a pie in the sky, that you have to wait for happiness. Okay, so that's the main difference that I saw with Unity as opposed to the Pentecostal teachings in church.
That should be an interesting response. We will see what happens when we release this episode. The next topic is parenting beliefs. My parenting beliefs have definitely changed over time. The kids weigh you down, weigh you down to the nub. We now understand why parents are so hard on the first or only child. You're afraid you're going to break them. My discipline actions were also more corporal than conversational in the beginning. They are also your test child. You end up being so strict or having so many rules that you are tired by the time the second one comes along, and they get away with everything.
Amen.
Also, depending on when you have children, you have more money when you have your second child and are able to do more with them and for them. You also realize you won't break your children, so the second one gets to be a little freer depending on what type of child they are. Have your thoughts on parenting changed?
No, not necessarily. I do think sometimes I parented out of fear, and I don't think that's necessarily a good way to parent. Fear was always a guiding force throughout my younger parenting years. Being a parent is the most difficult and rewarding job that I have ever had to undertake. Raising black boys and helping them navigate a world that doesn't want them in certain spaces can be beyond difficult. There are many unwritten rules that they must be taught in order to survive. These conversations are not always pleasant, but necessary. One lesson I taught my children is to never take a ride from a friend and to call me or their mother if they ever get stranded somewhere or got stranded somewhere. They always ask me why this was such a hard and fast rule. I explained that I once had a friend in high school who was both an all-star basketball and football player. One day, he was standing at the bus stop. Some of his friends drove up and asked him if he needed a ride home. He grew up with them and had known them since elementary school, so he accepted their ride. One of the guys driving said he needed to make a quick stop at the local grocery store. After about 2 minutes, he came out running out of the store. As they traveled down the street, the police began to follow them. There was a high-speed chase. The driver crashed. No one died, but everyone in the vehicle was charged with armed robbery. Unfortunately, my friend was given a 5 to 10 year prison sentence. He lost his opportunity to play football/basketball at the college or university level. This was a bitter pill for my friend to swallow and something he has never recovered from. Moral of the story, never get in someone else's car. This was a cautionary tale for both of my sons. Another lesson that I share with my sons is to always work hard and to never give up when they were trying to achieve a particular goal or dream. I said a lot of times people who give up never realize their dreams. So it's important to stay steady. I said, and one thing I used to teach them was, or tell them, was that the turtle and the rabbit. The rabbit starts out fast, but the turtle is slow and meticulous and usually finishes. Lots of times the rabbit tires himself or herself out and never makes it to the finish line. So it's that person who is slower and more careful and more meticulous that usually finishes the race.
Well, we both know they both have that working hard aspect of you. I can barely find them to have dinner every once in a while. Next up, finances. LOL finances. We are still in a stalemate with this one. Paul wants to pay everything and I want to pay as little as possible. Although as I'm getting older and the flow of money changes, Paul may have a point on paying some things in full. For instance, credit cards. If you pay off the balance and everything is used for bills, you do have funds available for the accessories and extras. I think for the rest of 2024, I will heed that little nugget. Also, keeping a card free for emergencies. I'm sure he is cheesing in the inside and will keep you apprised of whether I go through with it or not. However, the one rule we have had and stuck to is that whoever makes the most money decides on where we live and or deals with the children's needs. Unfortunately, this only happened for me once or twice. Of course, discussions are had about whether it is a good opportunity for the family and if the other party is able and willing to pick up the slack. Though it was a learning lesson for Paul when I was working down the road, who thought I was crazy and mean to the kids. He soon learned our children could be little sneaky snots. I gave him a few tips and he fell asleep. Rookie mistake. And during my usual check-in call to the house, I realized it was unusually quiet. I had to run home and make sure the children were still alive. Thankfully, they were. He had just sent them to bed for taking advantage when he was sleeping. Suffice it to say, apologies were given and lessons learned. Have your thoughts changed about finances?
I think I have become more flexible when it comes to finances. And admittedly, I was a little stringent about how money should be spent. Yet, I still believe there are certain bills that should be paid in a timely manner. I also believe in the importance of having an emergency fund. Additionally, it's important to have one credit card completely paid off just in case we have to make an emergency trip someplace.
Next up, mental health. Mental health is another topic we both have probably changed on what we believe. I am sure we all have had a family member that dealt with mental issues when we were little. Being Black, it was something that was whispered about, and not only that, it was dealt with separately from a physical health issue. And of course, on top of not talking about it, you were told it would be prayed away. It could be prayed away. So suffice it to say, when I mentioned that one of our children should see someone, Mr. Mock said, "You're telling me my child is crazy?" I was thrown back by this response. However, once he settled down and we met the person, he understood it was more of a preventative measure than saying something was wrong. It was also thanks to therapy that we were able to salvage our marriage. Of course, it was Mr. Mock again getting offended because in a session he was asked if he loved me. LOL, he still gets huffy when that is brought up. Yes, it was really bad. So bad, we were seeing our minister separately. So I was not in the session where she asked about that. And I do not believe we were asked the same questions. It was also a good thing for me because I was forwarded for more in-depth counseling due to some other mental health issues brought on by the sudden and tragic loss of my dad at that point over 14 years ago. Have your thoughts changed about mental health and counseling?
I think so. I think my thoughts have changed. A great deal, actually. Growing up the way I did, there wasn't much talk about mental health. Most Black people in my community went to their pastor when they were quote-unquote having struggles. There was rarely any talk about seeing a psychologist or psychiatrist in my community. Besides the expense, no one wanted to be labeled as crazy or weak. This was especially true for the Black man in my community. As I look back on my childhood and adolescence, as well as my upper teenage years, there were instances of mental breakdowns all around me. For example, there were instances where there was suicide, that I saw suicide by cop, drug overdoses, and rampant gang violence. There were times in the community of domestic dysfunction brought on by drug abuse and violence. I used to think that therapy was something that weak people utilize, but over the years, I've come to the realization that therapy is something that we all need. A mental checkup should be treated like a physical checkup. It should at least happen once a year, or more if needed. So to answer your question, my views on mental health have definitely changed. I think that particularly Black men, you know, to talk about mental health is more acceptable today than it was in the past. And I think that's a good thing.
I agree totally. And the next topic is gender roles. Gender roles is another belief that I never really had. I know that there were roles in the home that should be considered male and female, but because my father's job kept him away from home a lot of the week, my mother did both. So when I got married, in my head, I never thought about who should do what, and strangely, Paul and I never discussed it. Although as we started this episode, we know how Paul felt in the beginning. Thankfully, over time, and a child later, that changed for Paul. My thinking was always whoever gets there first does whatever it is that needs to be done, such as clean, cook, bathe, wash, etc. Eventually, Paul came around to my thinking, especially once we had our eldest. Unfortunately, I became ill around year 5 of our union, and Paul finally learned to cook. If eating out had not been so expensive, he still would probably not know how to cook. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy he learned to cook and drive. He recently tried oxtails for the first time, and they were quite tasty. Although I believe he enjoys cooking more than I do. As a matter of fact, I know he does. It is his happy place. And I am sure, like a lot of ladies, it is a chore to me. I can do it. The food is good, but I'm over it. Have your thoughts changed about gender roles?
Absolutely. Now I enjoy cooking and preparing many of our meals. I think gender roles are actually a misnomer. It is important for couples to do whatever is needed to keep the family moving forward. Initially, at the beginning of our marriage, I just didn't feel that way. I just felt that women's role were in the kitchen and taking care of the children, and that men were supposed to provide. So in certain instances, I was really a traditionalist. And I felt that as a man, to provide, if one job wasn't enough, then you needed to get two jobs. All right. So that's how I was raised. I really felt strongly about that. But I really start changing when my wife started going back to school and she started working outside of the home. And then I also realized that I had sons who were looking at me, and they needed to also have a good example of what a marriage should look like, and how a man should not just provide, but also be there for the children, or also cook. You do whatever you need to do to take care of the family. So as I became more mature. Once I was home, if I'm home, I would say, before my wife, I would start the meal. If I had a free moment, then I would drop a load of laundry in the washing machine. And what I did was come to the realization that men and women should not allow themselves to be defined by society's definition of man and womanhood. Marriage is a marathon, so roles will have to change, and they do over time. So whatever's needed to keep the family moving forward is what should happen within the household. And so in that way, yes, I think I've changed like a total transformation.
Well, that's good to hear, because otherwise I don't think we would have made it.
Probably not.
Next up, dream stealer or dream believer? Dream stealer or dream believer? I do believe, because of my entrepreneurial spirit and health, that Mr. Mock has felt he has to have a solid job that has good benefits. However, I have felt at times that though it is something he wants to do, it is a high burden. Though his stability does allow me to dream big. Sometimes I fail, fall, or stumble, but I cannot say I did not have the room to try. I also cannot say I was not encouraged, because regardless of the idea and what it took, I was given the room, and my men were in the corner with their pom-poms. I also think it has to do with the shopping trip they took from New York back to Maryland when I closed the real estate deal right before the school year started. When one of my plans works out, it feels wonderful to do or give something to my family that was unexpected, like a trip or shopping or something else fun that they've wanted to do but couldn't due to financial constraints. And just like that shopping spree, it is always a joy to tell my husband he doesn't have to work in the summer. Though a few summers ago, I'm not sure what they did to him during the school year. He slept from the end of the school year to almost the start of the year. I guess he was tired. Have your thoughts changed on following your dreams?
No, not at all. I think dreams are what keep people motivated and engaged in life. Life would be so boring without dreams. If I had not followed my dreams, I would have never met my wife in college or some of my greatest friends or brothers in college as well. Dreams, or having dreams, are what got me out of South Central Los Angeles. Having dreams is what helped me get a college degree. Having dreams helped me get my master's degree. Having dreams helped me become a certified teacher here in the state of Maryland. So dreaming is very important. And then watching my wife achieve many of her own dreams, that was also something that was an inspiration for me, to see her, how hard she worked to achieve her dreams. She sacrificed a lot for her family. She worked extremely hard for her family. Okay, so me seeing that, and a lot of, I don't even know if I've shared this with her, she's inspired me to continue to push and to work. I remember one time I whined about a grade I got in a graduate course, and I hadn't started the program officially yet for the master's. I was just taking courses at the time. And I wasn't going to go in the program. I was upset with the professor. My wife said, "Paul, what are you going to do for the next year and a half anyway, besides go to school and come back home?" She said, "You might as well go ahead and get your master's." And so she said, "Stop crying about it. Refocus yourself." She basically told me to reset and go and push for your dream, which is to get your master's. And so that's what I did. And so, yes, dreaming is important. Having accountability is important as well. Okay.
Well, you can thank that advice to Aunt Julia. And I also appreciate you giving me the room to follow my dreams. Mm-hmm. Not so much with the kids, within limitations with them, but that's a topic for another day.
As far as the kids' dreams?
Yes.
I think I helped them with their dreams. We can talk about that later, though. That's not in this particular episode.
Next up, fair fighting. When we first got married, our arguments were like MMA fights. No holds barred, knockdown, drag outs, with your mama included. They were complete blowouts. Of course, as time goes by, things settle down, and the arguments are not as tumultuous as in the beginning, but there were a few brouhahas along the way. The best was when we were going through marital counseling and Paul would bring up fair fighting. Needless to say, in the middle of an argument, that does not go over well. Fast forward to years 25, 30, and 35, and there are no more blowouts. As a matter of fact, you don't even have the energy to get one started. Believe me.
That's true.
Paul or I have tried, and it always ends up in laughter because you don't have the energy.
That's so true.
As a matter of fact, sometimes it starts in your head, and you go over the points, and again you say, "Let me finish whatever, and keep it moving. I can use this energy for something else." Have your thoughts changed on fair arguing?
No, I don't think they've changed. My thoughts have not changed on fair arguing. I still feel it is important for both parties to be allowed to get out their respective points without being interrupted. Though that's sometimes difficult when you're angry at each other. And I do believe that ground rules should be set and followed by both parties. This way we can actually hear each other. In the past, we never did this, which caused a lot of hurt feelings. Today, we are in a much better place. Our arguments are a lot more respectful and quieter.
Yeah, non-existent.
I'm sorry to talk over you there. But it takes less time. It used to be, like she said, it would be marathon sessions over a period of days, successive days. But that's not the case now.
Yes, it's a lot better now. Next up, education. Finally, there is education. Since Paul and I met in college, we knew that education is important, and we wanted to position ourselves to have great education foundations, and we did not want our children to have as many school transitions as I did. So when we had our eldest, we were in New York, and though pre-K nor daycare were required, we wanted him to have a well-rounded experience. Especially being an only child, socialization was necessary. Suffice it to say, he did finish pre-K and enter into kindergarten, but he was not ready. So I took him out of Catholic school kindergarten and tried public school out of the area. That did not work either because of his curiosity. It was his first time around white children, so of course he was curious about their skin and hair, similar to how some white children are curious about our hair and skin. Ryan's trying to touch the white children's hair or skin was taken as an assault, and that did not go over well. Unfortunately, I became ill and could not always monitor him in school. Thankfully, his dad was able to take over. However, once we moved out of the area into New Jersey, I took him out of school again. As we settled into the area, Ryan came to me and said he wanted to go to school. So we had a little talk, and I explained if he was going to go that he would need to behave or I would need to take him out again until first grade. That was the other reason we wanted to socialize him. He was around a lot of adults, so he was mature for his 5 years. After our little convo, I registered him and found an aftercare in the area so I could work. And he did quite well. He finished kindergarten with a bang and did very well. Now it was time for first grade, and because there were gaps in his reading, I thought Catholic school would be a better option. So I brought it to Paul and got the most unexpected reaction. So you're saying public school is not good enough for my son? In my shock and laughter, I explained that this was not the intention. I let him know that through my school adventure, there are different schools for different issues. And right now, Ryan needs a smaller classroom so he can get more attention and help with his reading. After that brief stint in Catholic school and my youngest stint in private school, they both basically got public school educations and have done well in their ventures. Our oldest is a teacher in social studies department chair. He has been married for over 10 years to his college sweetheart as well, and working on his doctorate. My youngest is dating a lovely young lady and working in the financial field after graduating from college in 2021. We are definitely proud parents. Since I'm discussing our bio kids, I also want to send a shout out to our bonus kids that are doing so, so well. Jared is living his dream as a father, husband, and trained troubleshooter. Cece is a father and business owner. Tamari is a father, and Z is living his life as a college student. Yes, we're in the house, and it is quiet, so quiet now. Though there were moments we didn't think they or we were going to make it. We are proud parents and bonus parents because they have all found their way. Have your thoughts about education changed?
I must admit, let me backtrack. Yes, I will say that my thoughts about education have changed over time. And I'm just thinking back to when you told me you wanted to put Ryan in Catholic school and how incensed I was. I just couldn't imagine paying for a child to go to school when there was, in my opinion, a perfectly good public school in the neighborhood. But what I realized, and I must admit, that you were much more advanced and pliant about education when it came to the children. This was especially true when it came to our oldest child. It was because of how you dealt with our oldest son and some of his academic gaps that I feel all children can learn and succeed. You worked with Ryan intensely through repetition and high expectations and constant encouragement. He was successful. And you basically told me and showed me what you wanted done when you used to go to work in the evenings. He needed to be working on this, this, and this. And it helped Ryan get through that Catholic school experience. And so what I found out was, and I'm going to say it again, repetition, high expectations and constant encouragement are absolute must. Watching my oldest son, I also realized how important intestinal fortitude is to a student's success. Our oldest child worked his ass off to overcome any and all hurdles. Our youngest son also refused to give up. He too worked hard and was able to get a college degree, just like his brother. Both of them are two young men that I am extremely proud of, and we both are really very proud of them. So to say that we have two children, black children, and then particularly black males, to both have high school diplomas and college degrees is really a crowning achievement in my mind as parents and us being married.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. Without you and you working hard as well, a lot of this could not have been achieved.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that so much.
Disclaimer, we are not therapists, just hoping to help others through our crazy love story.
Shout out to everyone who took a few moments out of their day to listen. We hope that anything you heard was helpful.
If you want to do something, donate your time, talent, or funds to a cause you feel is worthy. Or just send a note of thank you to someone you know working hard at whatever it is they do and making lasting change in their field. And if you feel so moved, please check out our merch at our Etsy store, EZZTEES, or use the Linktree link.
Thanks for joining us this week on E Says, P Says, your weekly dose of black love. Check us out on our social media platforms, Facebook, E Says, P Says, Instagram at E Says, P Says, TikTok at E Says, P Says, YouTube at E Says, P Says Live, and on X at E Says, P Says. And make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss any of our episodes. And feel free to leave any questions or comments on one of our platforms. See you next week.